Thank you for tuning in to our first Lutheran Church podcast travel series. We will explore some of the faithful travel experiences members of our congregation have undertaken. I hope these discussions will inspire you to go out into the world. Bless it in the name of Jesus, and let it bless you back. Welcome back to our Travel Ministries podcast. This is Pastor Jill, and during this podcast, we are talking with people who have traveled with other members of our congregation out into the world somewhere, and hopefully we have encountered Jesus in a new way, and hopefully our faith has grown. Today, we are speaking with Lisa, and Lisa went on a trip that I was also on to the Holy Land and to Rome. This trip happened in March of 2023. And so Lisa has agreed to come, and we're just going to talk a little bit about how that trip impacted us. So welcome, Lisa.
Thank you, Pastor Jill. I'm really honored that you asked me to do this.
Oh, I'm so excited to have this conversation with you. The first question I would like to ask is, what inspired you to want to sign up for this trip where we went to the Holy Land and Rome?
Well, I would say that for a very long time, I wasn't interested in traveling to Israel because growing up in the 60s and 70s, you know, all we seemed to hear about was the violence happening over there. But as you get older and you realize that they can be isolated, they can be short term, you know, we've got problems here in the United States at times, but it doesn't mean that there are places that aren't safe to travel. You can travel safely. But yeah, so a long time it wasn't on my mind. And also when we were growing up, we taught that faith shouldn't be based on seeing evidence. We should not be doubting Thomas's. And so even though I'd hear things like, oh, they discovered what they think is the ark, you know, up in some mountains, it's like, I don't feel the need to go see that because that's, you know, not supposed to be what my faith is based on. And so I didn't think about traveling to Israel until Pastor Scaff's presentation. I think it was about 5 years ago. I know that you and Randy went on that one, but the timing just wasn't good for me quite yet. Issues with work and husband's health, et cetera. And also, I thought that maybe the trip was only going to be going down into old archaeological digs, you know, a lot of dusty things and relics. But it turned out to be so much more, and I'll talk about that. But I got to thinking about it more as I, you know, as the first trip passed, thinking about it as a religious pilgrimage, and that I was going to maybe start my traveling as now that I am fully retired from my job and no longer a caretaker for my husband, that I had time to go. And so this was going to start off my travels. This was going to be sort of a sacrifice to spend the money. Instead of going to my first choices, I would be doing this and hopefully enhancing my faith.
It's almost like an offering. Sorry to interrupt you, but
yeah,
it hit my pastor's heart as an offering that you were making. Like you're saying, it's not your first choice, but there must have been something deep within you that was calling you to begin this new phase of your life in this very faithful way.
Yes. Yeah. And I was lucky enough when I was traveling in college in Mexico City to go to the Basilica of Guadalupe. And there I saw people making a pilgrimage on their knees, on cobblestone type uneven pavement on their knees. Now, I'm no longer in the physical, even back in my 20s, I'm going, I can't do that. But I can make this pilgrimage to Israel. And even though I was a little worried about, you know, possible violence, and now at my age, worried about, can my knees take it? Can my back take it? You know, I was going to go do this.
Absolutely. Two things I want to mention based on what you said is, first of all, we didn't introduce Pastor Wayne Scaff yet on this podcast, and he was a pastor. I mean, he still is, but he has led many, many pilgrimages to the Holy Land, and we were blessed to be able to go on a trip with him. And I've been on a few trips with him, and this was just the most recent one. And then second of all, we probably should mention, while you bring up the concerns about violence, mm-hmm. just yesterday, in this current time, we are in October of 2023, we heard that there was a violent uprising in Gaza that has created bloodshed in Israel, and then as they fight back, also in Gaza. And so violence does happen, and it's very, very sad. And we know that this area has been plagued by violence for a lot of reasons and for most of the existence of the land there. So our hearts go out to the people who live there and who are struggling to put the pieces back together. But thank mm-hmm. you for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So thank you for sharing why you chose to make this trip. It is a trip unlike any other you might choose to take. I know you have mm-hmm. other locations that you go to for pure fun and relaxation. Mm-hmm. And this definitely requires more from us spiritually than we might expect on like a vacation type
of
thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And sometimes physically too. Yeah.
Physically and spiritually. Absolutely. We're not always comfortable. We're relatively comfortable. We get to sit in an air conditioned bus, and we get, you know, nice rooms that have plumbing and everything.
Oh, yeah. And the fantastic buffets for breakfast and dinner, which are extremely healthy.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that was really nice. But sometimes, like coming down Mount of Olives was trickier for some people.
Absolutely. It was a very steep trek.
And going Hezekiah's tunnel was a bit of a challenge for some. But, you know, if you can make it, it's fabulous. And there are people who also helped others get through.
Absolutely.
So, and you can always take a day if you feel something is going to be a little too much for you. You can chill out for the day at the hotel for a while.
And we definitely had people that had to do that.
Yes.
So, yes, absolutely. So mm-hmm. let's begin then, kind of remembering some of the events we did. What was something that maybe you learned or you were surprised by mm-hmm. on this journey?
Oh, sure, sure. Well, again, going back to, you know, I thought it was going to be a lot of old architectural dusty digs. But it was so much more than that. I mean, we went to Rome first, which was wonderful. And we learned about art and architecture, geology, geopolitics, geopolitical things. We learned about past. We learned about current events. And we learned how tasty a Mediterranean diet can be. It's wonderful, less processed foods. I just felt so much healthier eating over there.
Absolutely.
And one of the things I learned is take notes when you're over there, because there's so much that you learn. And it's so hard to remember everything. I had to go back and look up a few more.
Well, and one thing I remember is other people were borrowing your notes because they couldn't quite catch everything, and they were looking at your notes so they could make their notes even better.
Oh, so, but Linda did a fabulous job also, Linda and Mitch, and that's another thing.
Yeah.
So it was so nice to have so many people of faith on the trip that you learned for and were supportive of you and vice versa. That was wonderful. But some of the things... blown away by the art and architecture. In Rome, we got to see like a 3,000-year-old obelisk in the middle of Rome. Go in and see the Colosseum that, you know, was thousands of years old.
Well, I just want to stop. I mean, in the United States, when something is 100 years old, we think that is ancient.
Yeah.
So ancient that perhaps it needs to be taken down.
Mm-hmm.
But we're looking at things that are thousands and thousands of years old. The time that's passed just blows my mind.
Yeah, and some of these structures are still standing, like the aqueducts in Israel. That, you know, and so you learn of the impact of Rome on Israel, things like the aqueducts and how advanced Romans were with dealing with water. They built these aqueducts to bring water down from the mountains so they could have the Roman baths, so they could have running water in their public toilets. And one of the things we learned was how public the public toilets really were.
People complain about the gap in the door at the U.S. toilets.
Oh, right, yeah.
There's not even a door. There's not even a wall.
No, and they're all out in the open, so they're very... And they're also gender neutral. that was one thing I was not expecting. No, right. I think the baths are still were still gender specific, but the public toilets were gender neutral. It's like, who knew? But that was fascinating how they used, because everything was like on an angle for the toilets, and they used the water, and it was like they were so advanced in that aspect. Also the geography, learning about the geography of the land, how you had in the north, you had Mount Hermon, and that was a huge supplier of water with the snow on top of the mountain, and it filtering down through the mountain to produce these springs. And one of the springs was in the town of Dan, and that was fascinating because that's a beautiful park there, and it's such a contrast between what you see and how pretty it is to the name of one of the mouths of the spring was the mouth of hell. So ironic. And that Dan was used as a getaway, a vacation spot for Roman soldiers. So there are probably all kinds of debauchery going on when these guys, soldiers, were vacationing up there. But today it's this beautiful looking spot. But then you also do see like Roman temples, the remains of like to Zeus and goat guy Pan.
You're speaking specifically about Caesarea Philippi, that one location that, it was the Las Vegas of
the
Middle East. Yes.
So that was something. But then, so then you know that these, that springs, like one of these springs or multiple springs, feed the Jordan. The Jordan River then flows down into the Sea of Galilee. And we learned, of course, that the Sea of Galilee is not really a sea, but they thought they had come to a sea or the ocean, and so therefore named it the Sea of Galilee. And it's something growing up, you never questioned that it was the Sea of Galilee when really you look at the map and it's a lake.
With the river flowing through it.
You're right, right. Yeah. And that the Jordan then flows further south. And we got to go to the spot where they believe that John baptized Jesus. And there's a lot of baptizing, renewal of our baptism happened there. And that it flows on further south to the Dead Sea. And that for a while they had, I think it was the Jordan, dammed up for use of fresh water for Israel. And so that probably contributed to some of the Dead Sea drying up, but it still is a problem and continuing to happen, even though they no longer dam it up like what they did in using all the fresh water, because now they've got desalination going on instead. So, but the Dead Sea is still drying up. So that was fascinating. And it was really fun. If you don't know, you can float very easily in there, but you also need to learn that you cannot go face down. You cannot swallow the water. Otherwise, you need to go to the doctor immediately because it's so salty that it's toxic there. But on the other hand, they mine those minerals that are there and use them in some of the products we ended up purchasing. So that's kind of cool. So there's so much, but I love the, learning so much. You know, like our guide was so experienced, and then the Israeli guide that we had also is Israeli guides have to be like licensed and trained. So you get a lot of education there. But I like the geopolitical stuff too, and how they talked about the trails where people tended to go because of where the mountains and the lakes and the rivers were. So you had general specific trails that people followed. And
right. Just being there, it's so much easier to visualize what is meant by different stories in the Bible, mm-hmm. because you understand everybody goes up to Jerusalem because it's on a hill.
Yes.
And this is why Megiddo was such a flashpoint, because everybody had to travel through that one small spot.
Oh, yeah.
Which is where Revelation is talking about Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
So, just being there.
Valley of Blood.
What'd you say?
Valley of Blood? Megiddo? What's
Megiddo. I don't remember the Valley of Blood.
Okay.
But
okay.
I do know that that's where the prophecy is. The end times will begin.
Mm-hmm.
What especially moved you when we were there in the Holy Land or Rome?
There were several times that were very moving. One of the things was the Crusader Church. One of the things I learned was that Crusaders built churches. They didn't just fight. So they built this wonderful cathedral type place. I don't know if it was cathedral. What would you call it? Church. anyway, by, was it the Pools of Bethany? Is that the right? I can't remember. Well, it was the Healing Pools where the angel came down.
Oh, sure, the Pool of Siloam.
Siloam, that's what it is, yeah. And so, yeah, that was fascinating to learn that everything is so offset in there. You don't notice it unless you're looking for it, but it the technology really allows the sound to just reverberate through that church. And there was a couple on our trip who sang a solo, a duet, I guess, really. And it was just incredibly moving. I mean, I just tingles up and down my spine. I mean, we also sang as a group, which was wonderful. But to hear them just pour their faith into that song and just have it reverberate was unreal. Also in Rome at the Basilica of St. Paul, to know that they had the shackles that held Paul there and the sarcophagus there of his, to know to be that close to the remains and the shackles was just like, oh my word, it was real.
This is a real person.
This is a real person. It's like, I am this close to the remains of Paul was really moving.
Right.
Also to go in Rome, to go down into the jail, like there was only one jail in Rome. So you knew this was the jail that Paul and Peter were held in Rome. And to know that it is a literal pit. I mean, now they built in, you have stairs, you go down, you walk around. But it was a literal pit that they threw people down in so that they couldn't climb out there. And to know that they were there and they had to have relied on their faith to keep going. And it was just incredible.
Absolutely. So was your faith impacted in any way by your experiences on this journey?
Yes. Yeah. One of the things was great was renewing my baptism. Thank you for doing that in the Jordan. It was very cool. And prior to the trip, I'd been working to reduce my anxiety, you know, doing the typical going to a therapist, trying meditation, exercise, and relying more on my faith. And, you know, knowing that I've already got this free gift of salvation and know that, you know, since God takes care of the birds in the sky, he'll take care of me, just trying to fall back on that. But I do want to say caveat, though, too, for mental health issues that not only, I mean, you know, I wanted to try and work on that, but I do believe that we do have therapists and doctors who are available for our mental health.
Absolutely.
And so I have used that also because I believe that God has put the doctors and the therapists and the medication here for us when we need it. My faith was tested on the trip with a phone call at 3 a.m. Time in that it was my father's nursing home calling to say he had COVID. Here's an 89-year-old man who has been going downhill for more than a decade. And to just try and focus on the trip again and to try and be calm and know that I'm going to see him again. It's like I'm telling myself, we're in Jerusalem, we're getting toward the end of the trip, and knowing that COVID could take somebody of his age and health very quickly, just tried to focus. And yes, it turned out fine in that I was able to see him again. I wasn't able to talk with him because he was unconscious. And he ended up passing a few weeks after we got back. His secondary infection took him, but it was a test. And I ended up feeling, I think, pretty calm about that. And I do think that's sort of a sign of the faith working. And I was, one of the things that made me feel good too is that we collected water from Nazareth, the well of Mary, and I happened to have that. And so I asked the chaplain to use that in blessing my father as he was dying.
That's so meaningful.
Yeah, it really, really was. And so I was able to be there with him when he took his last breath. Mm. And kind of another test of faith was my first instinct, as you know, you realize he's just taking his last breath, was to rouse him again. You didn't want to lose them. You wanted to bring them back. And I'm like, going, no, this is, you know, he's going to a better place. He's going to heaven. I don't want to stop him from going there. You know, let him go because he is going to a better place. And I think that just, you know, overall the things helped me have a better idea maybe of how to rely on my faith more to build on that. So yeah, and I would definitely recommend people go, even though they hear about the violence, you know, like I did for decades. It isn't always that way, and it isn't always in all of Israel either. And from a typical analyst and bean counter, so, you know, kind of look at it like, this, you know, you spend money investing in other things in your life, your home, repairing, keeping it up. And I think it's, you can look at it as an investment in your faith life. And, you know, I didn't go till I was like, you know, 64, almost 65. And you figure if I'm lucky, I could have another 20 years of life. And so this could impact my life over the next 20 years. But if you're like 45, well, then you get 40 some plus years maybe of this impacting your life. And you take it. And I think, looking back, I wish that I would have made this more of a priority, like when my son was growing up. I think to go around the time of confirmation would be fabulous, because there were other younger people on our trip, kids of other people going. And I just think that would be an ideal time, and wish I had made it more of a priority, because again, you know, like 13, 15, I mean, you can have 70 years of this impacting your life. And whatever you're doing for other people, you know, yeah. It could make quite the difference.
But. Well, thank you, Lisa, for taking several risks here. You took the risk to go on the trip with us, and you took the risk to be out of control in some things, you mm-hmm. know, like you didn't have the control to get back to see your dad, for mm-hmm. example. And you took the risk to join our podcast today. And thank you for being vulnerable and sharing what was on your heart. And I hope that this will be encouraging for other people who are wondering if this might be a journey they might want to go on. But mm-hmm. at the very least, come and talk to us, and we will love to tell you more stories if anybody wants to hear them, because we would love to share how the blessings of this pilgrimage change and shape us.
Oh, yes. So, yeah, absolutely.
So thank you. So yeah, I would just like to wrap us up with a prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for calling us to be in your presence, and thank you for allowing us to travel to the place where you were born and to see the stories of your word come alive as we understand their settings. Thank you for bringing Lisa along with us, and we pray that everybody who hears these stories will be brought closer to you, as they too can imagine how you are near enough to touch. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.